Daniel 10, verse 1. In the third year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar. And the thing was true, but the time appointed was long. And he understood the thing, and had understanding of the vision. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning three full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in the color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quake fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision. And there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his voice, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face tore the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground, and I became dumb. And behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, and when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. The Lord will bless the reading of his word.
Well, today we come to the last three chapters of the book of Daniel, which actually gives to us the last vision that was given to Daniel within this book. So we've got one vision, takes us over three chapters. So it's a very important part of the book of Daniel, this last vision. And you'll notice perhaps as you look at those chapters that chapter 10, is the introduction to the vision. You notice in verse 1 it talks about the thing three times. It says the thing, indicating that what is being referred to is the vision that is actually spread out over these three chapters. So the vision is so important that a whole chapter is devoted to its introduction here in chapter 10. Then when we get to chapter 11, that is from verse 2 down to chapter 12, verse 4, we have the detail of the vision told out. And that's what Daniel was asked if he understood. And he had understanding in his last vision, which when you remember the other visions, he had to have them interpreted to him. But he had understanding in his last vision, and the details run from chapter 11, verse 2, to chapter 12, verse 4. And then the book ends, now with God's promise unto Daniel to rest, and he will stand in his lot in that day. So you see, it's a very important closure of this book of Daniel, with its tremendous prophecies regarding the time to the Gentiles, and also, of course, God's dealings with Israel. Let me just remind you that in chapter 2 we have the commencement of the time to the Gentiles, when God put in the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, world government. When we get to chapter 12, we're now brought to the end of the time to the Gentiles, with the coming again, the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's a very interesting book, simply from that standpoint. What I want to do today from chapter 10 is just for you to observe with me, there are three matters dealt with in the chapter. Without going to all the detail, for it's quite straightforward as to what is being said, but you notice that first of all, we got 9 verses or 10 verses, and it's Daniel praying. And then verse 11 down to verse 19, we have God answering. And then in verse 13 and verse 20, 21, we have Satan opposing. That seemed to me to be the subject matter of this very interesting chapter. We find that Daniel is, first of all, praying. And then in response to Daniel's prayer, we have God answering that prayer through angelic agency. And then, last but not least, we are reminded of Satan's opposition to the program and the purposes of God. So I thought we'd just say something about these three areas that are brought before us in this chapter. I did say to you in verse number 1, that's like an editor's note, isn't it? It's just telling us that three times over about the thing. But the thing, of course, is the vision that's about to be given unto Daniel. And so we find the importance of this vision is stated in verse 1 in that it is repeated three times over. And so we find then that once we've looked at verse number 1 from that standpoint, the importance of the vision, the thing simply referring to the vision to be given to Daniel, and then from verse 2, really right through to chapter 12 in verse 4, we have the vision. And we're going to consider something of the introduction to the vision as recorded in this chapter. You notice really, first of all, in verse number 2, that it was in the third year, verse 1, of Cyrus, king of Persia, the third year of the reign of Cyrus. And it was in that third year, says verse 2, that Daniel, he was mourning, 3 full weeks, that is, 3 full weeks of days. Remember in chapter 9, we're talking about weeks of years. Now we're talking about weeks of days, that is, for 21 days, Daniel was mourning before the presence of God. That does raise the question, doesn't it? What was Daniel mourning over? And why was he taking 3 full weeks to express unto God what was the trouble that was troubling his heart? Just this, of course. You see, in the first year of King Cyrus, the edict was given for all the Jews in Babylon, in that kingdom, to return unto the Holy Land, Palestine, and the holy city, Jerusalem. And they were to build the temple, and to build the city, and to build the walls. That was the decree given in the first year of King Cyrus. We're in the third year. And as Daniel considered, now 2 years later, only around about 50,000 Jews had left Babylon, the land of captivity, and had gone to the Holy Land and to the land of Palestine, to Jerusalem. And that was to build an altar, which they first did, lay the foundation of the temple, and then to build the temple. I want to suggest to you, what was causing Daniel's sorrow was just this: after 2 years since they went back to the land, only 50,000 went back. And here we have those who went back, they built an altar, and therefore they gave God his place as far as their worship was concerned. They laid the foundation of the temple. But then Ezra tells us, doesn't it, in chapter 3, especially of the opposition that they faced by the other peoples surrounding them. And in the end, they gave up. Having laid the foundation for the temple, they gave up on building the temple. I just wonder, was that the cause of Daniel's mourning before God? After 2 years, no, not much had been done. And not only that, they were actually making associations with the heathen nations around them. And so we find that Daniel, although he did not go, but you must remember, he must be nearly 90 by this time. No doubt far too old to make the journey back to Palestine. And still he had responsibilities in the kingdom. And so we find, although he was not there, he had a deep concern that the people of God were not doing what they should be doing. And so he gave himself to pray. And that for 3 whole weeks. Then you notice in verse 3, linked with that prayer, we find Daniel is now fasting. He ate no pleasant bread. And then he talked about flesh and wine never came into his mouth. And once again, so serious was Daniel as to his prayer life. He actually, he fasted to give himself time, especially to pray over the situation as he saw it. Isn't that interesting? You see, isn't it a great thing to have good habits? Remember in chapter 1, we saw that Daniel was a youth. He was master of his appetites. He was a young man of controlled appetite. Now he is somewhere, perhaps 90, and still he has control. He's still the master of his appetites. And the seriousness of his prayer at this point, once again, we find him fasting to give himself up to this whole matter of prayer. I suppose really we could lift one or two things from that. No, it's great to have good habits that begin in our youth and continue right through to old age, as it did with Daniel. It's good also to have real exercise in prayer about conditions among the people of God, as Daniel had. And as we look around, you know, there's a tremendous need for prayer because of conditions among, you know, God's people of our present day. And the seriousness of our exercise in prayer to be seen that we're prepared, like Daniel, to give up certain things, that he might give himself to earnest prayer unto God. That's how this chapter opens. And as we go through the chapter, we find Daniel next. It is thought maybe it was his summer house. And he's by the river. The river Hiddekel is known today as the river Tigris. And whilst he's beside the river Tigris, we find he saw, he beheld a man. And then we have this wonderful ninefold description of the one who had come from God to reveal unto Daniel this last action in the program of God recorded for us in detail in chapter 11. And so Daniel, as he's there, and he sees this, he says, a man. Of course, when you read through the description, we come to the conclusion it was not a man, but it was, at the very least, one of God's highest angels, one of those glorious angels, an angel that actually, you know, was a demonstration or display, you know, a display of the glory of God, because of the description in these verses of this angel that was sent down from God unto Daniel. Now, some have thought it was the Lord Jesus Christ, now being revealed, as sometimes we have in Old Testament scripture, in human form. The only thing against that is this. When you're in verse number 13, and he's talking about war or conflict with the prince of Persia, he said, Michael came to help him. Now, if what we have before us in this chapter was the Lord, appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ, he would not need the aid of Michael the archangel to overcome one of the devil's angels. So I just suggest to you, and that's all I'm doing, that what Daniel is seeing is one of God's glorious angels, and one in whom the very glory of Christ is displayed, is revealed. Because these verses describing this angel, very similar with that we have described in Revelation chapter 1 of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why some think that here we have the Lord Jesus Christ in human form before his incarnation, because it is so like the description of Revelation chapter 1. And of course, in Revelation chapter 1, we find John was on his face before that vision of the risen Lord. And then we find that Daniel likewise, as he looked upon this man, this glorious angel, he too was on his face. And so we find there is a similarity between this chapter and Revelation chapter 1. But just let me express again, in chapter 10 of Daniel, I believe personally it was one of God's glorious, mighty angels. Whereas in Revelation chapter 1, it was actually the Lord Jesus in his risen power. Now, it is interesting, isn't it, that Daniel, in the sight and in the presence of this Holy One, this all-glorious angel, he fell on his face, and his face was toward the ground. But then there seemed to be another angel, because there seemed to be another angel who touched him and lifted him up onto his hands and his knees. And then he touched him again, so that he said to Daniel, stand upright. And so Daniel, he stood upright, but trembling. And he was fearful. And in one place he found himself, he could not speak. So this particular angel touched his lips, and he was able to speak. So you see, what we have in this interesting chapter, not only Daniel's prayer, his praying to God and a deep concern for the people of God who's gone back to the land, but we now have God answering that prayer. And the way in which God answered that prayer was through angelic agency. For the very angel said unto Daniel, from the first day thy words were heard. That is, at the very beginning of those 21 days, those 3 weeks, at the very beginning of them, when Daniel first uttered his words, he said, thy prayer was heard, and God sent me to come to thee, to make thee understand the vision which is about to be revealed to him. And so we find once more that God hears prayer from the very first word that Daniel uttered, which heard in heaven. And the whole prayer was heard in heaven. For Daniel prayed for 21 days. Why was the answer so long in coming? Well, it says verse number 13. You see, said the angel whom God has sent down to Daniel in answer to his praying. He said, you know, the prince of Persia, he opposed me. He withstood me. And so we have in this chapter, we have now conflict in the angelic world. You see, God has his holy angels. But with the fall of Satan, there was a vast number of demons, rebellious demons, that fell with Satan. And so Satan is master of a vast, vast host of rebellious demons. And it was one of those rebellious demons that now obstructed God's holy angel. He was coming to Daniel to make known to Daniel what the purpose of God was with regard to the end times. For you notice in these chapters, constant reference to the end times. And when Daniel is told about the vision, he next says the angel, it is appointed for a long time. In other words, the vision that was given to Daniel regarding to end times was going to be a long wait. And there'd be a lot of things that would, events that would happen between the time when the angel came to Daniel and the fulfillment of God's program indicated in this vision. And so we find that God not only hears prayer, the very first word prayed, he answers. But here we have one reason given to us why the answer was delayed 21 days. Because the angel that was sent by God down to Daniel, he was withstood. So he could not get down to Daniel. And in order to get down to, he was fighting, to use the language that seems to explain it, he was fighting with one of the devil's rebel angels, indicating to us, no, there is a real conflict in the angelic world. And just as God has his angels, and certain angels are marked out for certain businesses, certain things to do, the devil, as always, has imitated God's way. For Satan has a whole host of rebel angels. For that's what they were. Now they're rebel demons. And he has marked out among those rebel demons certain ones that he sends on certain missions. So when God's angel came to come down to Daniel with the answer to his prayer, he was withstood by one of these rebel angels, indicating to us the reason why Daniel's prayer did not get answered immediately was because behind the nations of the world, there are evil spirits, rebellious demons, under the control of Satan. That's why verse 13, when it speaks about the prince of the kingdom, is not referring to Cyrus. It's referring to this rebel angel sent by the devil to withstand God's angel reaching Daniel to give to him the answer to his prayer. Can I just stop for a moment? You know, it's a very real truth in Scripture that behind the nations of the world, I mean our present world, behind the rulers of the nations of the present world, there is this very real conflict. And Satan has an angel, one of his rebel angels, actually influencing rulers of the nations of the world. Some of us who are old enough will remember how Satan's demons had influenced Hitler to the extent that what Hitler did. We just wonder sometimes, the working of rebel angels influencing the rulers of the nations of the world may just suggested by what we're seeing by the ruler of Russia and what he's doing, what he's done. Is it true, possibly, that behind that ruler is a demon, one of Satan's fallen angels, influencing the mind of the man? And so we see that what was true in Daniel's day is still true. The devil has his particular princes among his rebel demons to influence the rulers of the nations of the world. And so that may be the explanation of what we're seeing in our present day with regard to Russia and the Ukraine. But let us never forget, that is how Satan operates. He has his own rebel demons, and he has them evidently marked out, certain ones to influence rulers of the world. What for? To frustrate the purposes and the program of God. And Satan thought that he could frustrate God's purpose in this angel reaching Daniel to give Daniel this mighty, this all-glorious vision that takes up the whole of chapter 11 into chapter 12. And Satan, the last thing Satan wanted was for Daniel to receive that vision and see what God was going to do from the day of Darius, king of the Medes, right unto the end of the tribulation, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back at his second advent. That whole period of time we have in chapter 11. For there we have at least 34 verses, all to deal with the near future. And then we have from verse 35, 36 to the end of the chapter, all to do with it, with the future happenings in the world. And so these last chapters in the book of Daniel does give us very important truth. It's going to reveal to us in chapter 11, God's program, what God is working, what he has been doing, what he is doing, what he will do, in order ultimately to bring in the Lord Jesus Christ at his second advent, who then would deal with the rebellious world and the last Gentile world ruler, even the beast, or if you will, the man of sin. And Christ is going to deal with the last Gentile world ruler and casting him with the false prophet alive in a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. So when you read chapter 10, think about it. Look and consider Daniel praying. And then think about God's answering. But don't forget that we also have the opposition of Satan. For we find in the very last verse, Satan was not only opposing God's angel in relation to his coming down to Daniel through the angel responsible for the kingdom of Persia. But says the angel unto Daniel, he says, I'm going, because he says there's going to be another conflict. And there'll be the angel behind Grecia. And so we find that behind all the nations of the world, behind every ruler, whoever he may be, there is an evil spirit influencing and working in the hearts of such men. But God has his holy angels, who are ultimately superior. For though this angel could not overcome the rebellious angel confronting him, he sent for Michael. For Michael the archangel came. And once Michael the archangel came, the angel was now released to go down to Daniel to bring him the vision that we consider on our next occasion, chapter 11. Thank you.